Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And one thing you can say right now that change is in the air and things are not going to remain the same. And that includes what's going on in the financial markets, both domestically and internationally. There are potential seismic changes going on. And here to talk about it is our good friend Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, which you see everywhere, and they're a proud sponsor of this show. In fact, Colin is now a welcome guest into the Noble Gold studios here at the Common Sense Show. So, Colin, welcome. And man, oh man, oh man, are things changing? I mean, Trump is affecting change right now, and he hasn't even been inaugurated. It's incredible.
The stock market, equities, bond market, the dollar got stronger. I mean, you could go down the list of areas that he's had a nice boost for especially for the day traders and the gamblers. They're really happy with him because I think a lot of people bet on him not only to win but that there'd be a nice shot in the arm, at least temporarily.
Well, I have to ask you a question. What's gold going for today?
2600 gold, silver is just above 30. We've had some pullbacks, which I think great buying opportunities for both of the metals. But yeah, no, I think it's you saw a big surge in equities and a surge in buying of equities too, which I don't love buying at all-time highs, but that's what's happening right now. And
But this
so
isn't going to be the all-time high.
well, I'm saying for the equity markets.
Yeah, no, okay, I hear you, but I think gold is beginning an
Oh
ascent.
no, for not for gold. No, gold has had a few days of big, pretty massive pullbacks. But the stock market's obviously risen to an all-time high. And so that's, I watch these things, really closely. The day after the election, gold had a pullback. And I understand, when people want to get out of things like bonds because those aren't going to pay much of a return, but things that are hedges against where things are just tremendous debt, I don't believe in that strategy. I don't think you want to have it at a 4%, but gold this year is up 28%. Silver's trailing that obviously, but these I think people know they need to see higher returns. They know that our GDP growth is not outpacing our debt and our interest payments.
Yes.
So those are things that I always look for as troubling for the economy. And as much as I'm excited about a lot of the things that are going to happen for business owners, the news is still the same. You got the wage growth. The weekly wage growth was reported at -2% last week.
Yeah.
It's the lowest, which is the biggest drop we've seen since 1992 with Clinton in office. So that's a pretty big number. And at the end of the day, to have money to invest, you have to see some wage growth, right? And we're just unfortunately not seeing that. Now, I know Trump has some ideas, tariffs, and a few things that he wants to do to bring some jobs back and hopefully improve that, but there's a lot of things that have to happen before that can happen. And Jerome Powell said he's not stepping down. He's going to stick for the 4 years. He was reelected in 2022, and so he's around till 2026 unless something happens. So he's still the man in charge of that system unless we make some fundamental change to how the Federal Reserve is, how the chairman of the Federal Reserve is picked. Trump can help with people working in the Federal Reserve. He can appoint people to positions, but the top position is currently dictated by the Senate, and he will be in office until 2026.
Yeah, Trump wants him gone. There's no question about that. I think there's things that Trump can do, and one of the things I think Trump can do is give the dollar a different backing. Remember when Kennedy did the silver certificate stuff? JFK. Not that you were around,
I
okay,
wasn't
for
alive,
that,
but I read about
but I'm sure you're aware of that. I think Trump could be looking at gold and silver in a similar way as a basket of precious metals. to start backing up the dollar. And right away, that would undermine the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that would. It would definitely give strength. And, you know, you look at countries, I mean, you look at what other countries are doing. You know, gold right now, compromised, it's 32.9% of Russia's total reserves. And they're buying it as much as they possibly can right now. They continue to buy. I think that would be the best thing we could do is buy some gold. But we're really amping up, you know, the world is really amping up purchases of gold. Russia is leading the charge. So yeah, I mean, the markets have definitely reacted. You know, people are wondering what's going to happen when he's actually in office. What are some of the things he's going to do? Then there's talk about Elon Musk, you know, being involved and that cutting some, you know, we know that Musk can get rid of debt and get rid of, you know, dead weight. And so that's quite, I mean, the best thing that could happen for the next 4 years would obviously strengthening the borders, but also really focusing on government waste and debt. That's the, I think, in my opinion, that would help people the most. Because if our debt started to get back in order a little bit and we weren't going up $1 trillion every 100 days, because that would give the world confidence again in us as a country. And that's what we need. That's why the BRICS are moving in all these directions, because they don't have confidence in us as a currency. They don't believe in what we're doing. They just think that we're spending, you know, so much so frivolously that they just don't trust our currency. So those are some of the things that I look at that, you know, has me concerned. And can he get us out of this hole? That's the true test, right?
Yeah. I couldn't agree with what you're saying more, except I still come back to this. I don't think the dollar can survive on its own. I think Trump can balance the budget, but I don't know how much he can cut into that deficit. And ultimately, it's going to destroy us because of the interest. So I'm looking at his alternative. He doesn't have an alternative. Unless he goes CBDC, which he never will, and you have debt jubilee, his only other choice is precious metals.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, and that, I mean, a big signal from the U.S. to buy some gold would be send some shockwaves in the gold market. Because we've seen it, you know, all over the world, they're buying gold, but the U.S. has not bought gold. I can't even remember. Maybe in the 50s we bought gold. It's been a long time since we bought any gold.
Yeah.
And if we did that, it would, first of all, tell the world that gold is as valuable as we know it is. And it would also back the dollar. It would say, hey, we got something else behind this dollar. We're not just going to print out of thin air. We're going to have some real assets behind it. So I think it would be fantastic. But we should probably talk about the BIS and what's happened to CDC, CBDC.
Oh, man, that's an incredible story. Please tell us.
Incredible story. Yeah, so BIS, so CBDCs were coming around. The BIS, which is made up of China, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, they started to test their own digital currency called Project Mbridge. And this was around for 5 years. And in June, they did a legitimate test. I think they sent $12 or $13 million over to make sure that it would work, kind of like a cryptocurrency. And the idea was this would be a currency that would compete with the dollar, right? So they're working through it. They're building it out. And it works. The test works. They go through their testing phase. And it's a big deal. There's articles in June. You can look at it. It's all online. They're talking about how well it worked. They're feeling good about it. And then all of a sudden, BIS, they just back out completely. They walk away from the program, which I'm sure they spent, you know, millions and maybe hundreds of millions. I mean, these things are expensive to build out. And they walk away. And people are like, why do they walk away? Well, BRICS meets last month. And they announced BRICS Pay, which they actually had a card, like it looked like a credit card.
Yeah.
They gave it out and they put, you know, a few dollars on there for people to buy like a cup of coffee or something. And so basically they walked away. A lot of people believe is they walked away because they want to use the technology for BRICS Pay. They don't want to have a currency that competes against BRICS Pay. They've already built it out. And it makes a lot of sense for them to use this technology. So quite interesting in the currency world, this development. And, you know, if you look at BRICS now, it's 39% of the GDP. It's over 30% of the world's mass, just land mass. Countries are lining up to get in. So there's a lot of momentum for this BRICS Pay, which would be an alternative currency. The problem, the reason that they haven't, China doesn't want to say, and BRICS doesn't want to say, is that there's the belief that it would go against sanctions. And so there's a lot of the world that says, you know, Russia still has to have sanctions. And so they don't want to announce that this technology, they would use it for BRICS Pay because of the sanctions on Russia. I think eventually in a year, they'll just announce it and BRICS Pay will be available and it'll be used. And that will continue to push the world away from the dollar, de-dollarization, which was a big topic that they had in October. It was a big topic in that discussion that they were going to move away from.
You know, I think this really signals an anticipation of the end of the Ukraine war and the ultimate removal of sanctions. I think this is what they're telling us by their actions. What do you think?
I think so, too. Yeah, because it would be the sort of perfect storm if they ended the war. Somehow there was an agreement on sanctions sort of ending, and then they announced this other currency. Now, there's all these chess moves happening.
Yeah.
You know, we're saying that if you go away from the dollar, that we're going to do tariffs on your goods. So that's been the big, you know, 100% tariffs. That's what Trump said, which, you know, is, in my opinion, is a starting point in negotiation, mm-hmm. right? I don't think we're going to end there. But there's a lot of these numbers kind of getting thrown around. Now, I will say tariffs for business owners, for people that are making products here in the U.S., seems great. Because a lot of people are saying, like, fantastic, because now people will be forced more to buy goods that are made here, right? Because they'll be able to level the playing field. Because, I mean, how does a U.S. manufacturer compete against China and slave labor and all of these things that they're doing over there? It's impossible. So if you're a manufacturer or you're someone that's, you know, building things here, you're excited about this idea of tariffs. But the flip side of it is that things are going to get more expensive, right? I mean, it's not going to be cheaper to buy goods any way you want to look at it.
Wages could go up too.
But wages will go up, right? I know. There's always, you know, there's another side to everything.
I know.
And I agree with you. And I would prefer wages going up because ultimately what we really need, and nobody likes to talk about it, but to really balance our budget, we need more tax revenue. And I'm not saying like tax rates should go up. I'm just saying if wages went up, tax revenue would go up, right?
Exactly.
And so, and don't get me wrong, I don't want taxes. I don't want to get like, you know, don't throw tomatoes at me, which, you know, I may deserve. But I'm saying—
Well, let me make it simple. When you get more money and you reach a certain level, you go into a higher tax bracket,
right?
Okay? And yeah. And so the prosperity doesn't work against you. You're still getting more money, but right. You're going to have to pay a little more tax, but you're still better off than you were. So yeah. I'm not throwing any tomatoes at you. I think what you're saying is exactly right.
Yeah. It's just anytime you talk, if you ever say that, like, there's more tax being paid, people assume that you want tax rates to go up. That's not what I'm saying at all. Yeah. What I'm saying is that if all wages went up, it would help the country. And so the tariff idea is good in that frame, in theory, brings more jobs, more manufacturing, you know, something that I think we need to really focus on in this country. And so where do these in the interim, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the interim? And I think there's going to be a lot of volatility. And I still think, and I've been saying this for a while, I still think we're in a recession right now. If you look at the numbers, I think
we're currently
in a recession.
Yeah.
And so those numbers, we still have to figure out. And, you know, the last report on inflation showed inflation going up, which could hamstring the Fed a bit. So I think the big debt bubble next year of real estate is gonna be big. There's gonna be some problems. Now, Trump's in the real estate game, so I think he'll find ways to give incentives to big owners. He'll figure out ways, you know, because he really, the big problem, and I guarantee he'll figure it out, but the The big bubble is this office market, right? He needs to figure out a way to give these owners a way to turn those office buildings into apartment buildings. And a lot of, and it's a massive cost. It's a massive cost. I mean, a lot of these buildings, they don't have the infrastructure. They don't have it set up for plumbing to put a kitchen and all the bathrooms that you would need to turn, you know, like the building that I'm in, you'd have to do a lot to turn this into turn it into condos or apartments. So there's a lot that has to happen there, but a lot of it is going to be creative next year in terms of incentives, which, you know, does reduce tax bases, but long term should increase because you have more tax revenue from real estate, right? It should increase in a lot of places. So I think, Dave, there's some good things really happening.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, the gold and silver market is your safe haven investment. And I think that, you know, you still have to be cautious right now in the markets because, you know, the markets are at an all-time high and, you know, really not supported by companies having incredible earnings. It's really based on faith on the fact that things are going to get better. And that's not really the best way to invest, but I know there's people that are taking advantage of some of the profits right
now. I want to get your reaction to something because you've got the World Economic Forum standard where they want to impose all these changes, among which is a CBDC and the elimination of paper currency. And the United Nations is adopting a lot of their situations and suggestions into their sustainable developmental goals. A lot of the Democratic Party and some of the rhinos are adhering to that philosophy. I think we're seeing a clash in America right now between two opposing interests.
Yeah.
I think the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, is signaling this is one way we want to go. Russia is saying basically the same thing with BRICS, but the other side wants CBDC. Do you see this coming to a head in terms of a financial conflict?
Yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, the problem with having so many different currencies competing is, you know, it creates a lot of volatility. And also, you know, countries want consistency and they want to know the best way. They don't want to have so many different options out there. They want to know how they're eventually going to trade. So I think there's going to be some big losers in the currency game over the next few years because there's going to be either they're going to go BRICS pay or they're not. And,
yeah,
you know, and there's a lot of money and time and investment, you know, moving towards these new currencies. And so I think it's what it has. They have to consolidate in a place that makes sense. And that has to consolidate in a place that can have some strength. And that's the most important thing is the trust value in this new BRICS pay. How is it going to be backed? How can it be easily manipulated? You know, who's in control of the rate there? How much of that currency will be allowed to be out there? We've all seen this happen with the dollar, that we've created this sort of animal where we just print more as necessary, and we know what it does to our currency, you know, and so you have all these things, these fractional things that people can own. You have all these fiat money. And I think it's really going to come down to is who holds the real assets. And that's what I think a lot of people miss in this whole thing is, yeah, things are up, things are down, but like who owns assets that are really needed? And you look at, you know, China, for instance, they own, you know, they own a lot of gold and silver. They own a lot of the metals that are necessary, a lot of precious metals that are hard to mine, lithium and all these things. These things will continue to go up and they'll continue to outpace inflation because these are the actual things that we need to survive in this world. You know, at some point it just comes down to like, what do we need to survive in this world? There's certain things we need water. We need precious metals. We need oil. There's certain things we need. Everything else is not as important. And I think it's going to, whoever controls these things, water, whoever controls these things is really going to control the world. And that's the thing that we really got to be careful of. There's a lot of noise about currencies. There's a lot of noise about this, but they're all just a means to an end because at the end of the day, the smart money is just buying assets, right? They're just buying tangible things and they're just going to wait it out. And I think that's the thing that we'll always find is that, yeah, they will be distraction. They'll tell you to go in this way. They'll tell you investors. They'll tell you to buy this stock. But at the end of the day, they're all buying assets. They're buying real estate, good real estate. They're buying things that are necessary for the world. And I think next year there'll be a lot of real estate that will come available that smart big money will buy. You know, they'll buy a lot of these distressed assets because they know long term those assets will be very valuable. It's going to take some time. Short term, you know, people that are close to retirement, they have to think about how do I outpace this inflation and how do I make sure I have some liquidity in the event that I need it. And, you know, for those people, a lot of them are just going to continue to buy, you know, the things that we do, gold and silver. They're just going to keep continuing to buy those.
Those are excellent, excellent points. And as I look at this, the two competing views, CBDC will take like a Marxist communist ideal. We'll tell you what something's worth. We'll tell you how you can spend your money when you get into the extreme views of it, looking at the Chinese model. But on the gold side of things, precious metal side of things, the value of precious metals is reflective of the value of what's being produced in a society. And yes. So on one, to me, gold and silver speak to freedom. CBDC speaks to enslavement. And I think there's division in the world now. The Bank of International Settlements is choosing freedom, to use a simple analogy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's the thing. The CBDC is does a few things. One, it lets them see every transaction that happens, right? It lets them levy if necessary. You know, it's just another way for a government to be involved with your currency and your money in an easier manner. It has nothing to do with creating decentralization or freedom or any of those things. At the end of the day, the more money that you have tied up in a system that's monitored, whether it's on a blockchain, Ethereum, whatever it is, it's just allowing a government to come in and either decide what you should be taxed, or maybe they review your taxes and they say you owe more, and then they got access to the money right there. Right? It's right on the blockchain. They don't even have to send you a letter. They could just deduct it and send you the letter after. And that's those are the things that I think are quite scary. And that's why, you know, when you see banks collapse last year, you see this push for CBDCs, and thank God Trump has really pushed against this, which is, you know, I think a lot of the reason that you saw certain people really pushing against him, because, you know, ultimately gold and silver and taking control and reducing debt, you know, these are all things that really help everyday people, right? Having this control back. But there is big ESG and these big part, the World Economic Forum,
bingo.
They don't want you to own anything. You know, they literally would love it if you rented, would love it if you rented your car. They would love it if you rent your phone. I mean, if you start to think about all the stuff that's being pushed for you to just not own anymore, that's just another level of control. And so, you know, owning gold, silver, platinum, palladium. I was talking about platinum today, and I, you know, it's funny. Platinum is just, you know, one of those metals that it's sort of baffling because it used to be more expensive than gold, and now it's much less than gold. But, you know, I have a little bit of platinum. You know, our clients, maybe 3 or 4% of them buy platinum, but it's just another asset. You know, I have a 10-ounce platinum bar. I just sock it away, and I know that there's a use of platinum that will come that I haven't even thought of yet that they'll figure out besides catalytic converters. And they'll use it and it'll be necessary. And platinum is very hard to mine and it's very rare, but they'll need.
What's it going for now?
It's under 1,000. It's at 954 today.
Is it going up or staying static, or what's the status?
That, you know, palladium and platinum have a lot of dual uses with catalytic converters. So, you know, palladium went crazy a few years ago, got all the way up to 4,000 an ounce and then kind of pulled back. And that's sitting in the, you know, $1,200 range. But yeah, ultimately, you know, these are things that will continue to, it's like, you know, with silver, you know, the amount of uses of silver since the early 1980s today, it's gone up, you know, thousands and thousands more uses. you know, all of these metals eventually will have some tech use or some use in that will make the world better, and they'll need it. And that's why, you know, China and Russia and all these countries that are thinking long term, all these developing countries, they really see the value of it. And I think it's just a mindset of ownership that happens. You know, BRICS, it's a lot of developing Brazil, a lot of these countries that are kind of starting to grow and starting to see their economies really kind of figure things out. And you can see that they really want to own assets now. They don't, now that they've gotten out of, you know, just trying to figure out the economy, they realize we need to get some chess pieces here. And so you just see these countries continue to buy, you know, a lot of Middle East countries, the UAE is buying a lot of gold, which is funny because UAE is a place that people have always traded gold, but they didn't have that much. But this year they bought a tremendous amount of gold, tons and tons of gold. Because, you know, even though it's being traded in and out, those were held by private citizens. It wasn't really held by them. And it's kind of been a known as a place where people want to hold gold. But at the end of the day, I think what it is, Dave, is it's an interesting end of the year, last quarter. I think a lot of investors are kind of looking at what the opportunities are. You know, my new silver book's going to be out. It's actually, I'm going to get it the next week. So for anyone that, you know, calls us, we'll get you out a copy of my new book, which is called Silver is the New Oil, which I'll make a case for silver.
Climate change, right? Technology.
It's part of it. It's one of, I mean, you'll, in the book, you'll see there's a lot of,
okay,
uses, not just that.
Well, I don't want to give a spoiler alert here, but honestly though, people have asked me this question. They said, well, what will happen to the value of silver? Because Trump has called climate change technology, you know, the green climate scam. And regardless of your position on this, if the federal government doesn't embrace it because of Donald Trump's policies, there are blue states that are still going to do this. Uh-huh. And internationally, it's still going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you have to look at the trajectory of oil, the prices and gas, and realize that if you crunch the numbers today, in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, there's going to be an argument, I think, for most people to have at least one car that fits this. And listen, I love gas cars and I have multiple gas cars, but you got one is going to make a lot of sense. There's going to be a tremendous, now that the prices have finally come down. So, and it's just dollars and cents, right? As a business owner, I just look at it and I just, you know, solar panels have a lot of silver. I mean, it's all just keeping energy costs down. So in my book, I lay out the argument for that, but ultimately I think it's a great time to look at diversification. You know, that's the thing that I think people need to look at is, with so much money and so much eyeballs on equities right now, what's your diversification strategy, right, to make sure that you're protected? And I think that's the thing that's really important is that you can fall in love with one thing and it's great, but people remember 2022, end of 2021, when the markets were down for 2 years. It was a tough market for 2 years. And so you got to be prepared for the ups and the downs of the markets. And that's why I think having a little bit of gold and silver makes sense. And we're happy to send out free information to, you know, obviously anyone listening, and you can talk to people at Noble Gold. And it's nice to have a little bit of liquid wealth that has no debt behind it that you own. And those are the things that we really focus on.
Well, I know that when I first started buying gold from Noble Gold, and then subsequently silver, I'm sure glad I did, given what the price was then and compared to what it is now. But I think with what's going on with the volatility of paper currency around the world, I think that right now gold is still, and silver too, is still a bargain compared to what could be coming. Do you have any projections going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, all-time high for silver is 50, and we're sitting at above 30. There's no commodity out there that is in this high demand that is below its price from 1983, which it's below. So, I think it's, you know, short-term, it's always hard. But, yeah, I expect, you know, in the next few years for silver to break through its all-time high, 100% at 50. You know, gold and silver – you know, since I've been doing this since 2008, 2009, they typically were moving kind of lockstep, and gold went on a big run. Silver hasn't. So I think silver still has a lot of room. Even the World Gold Council believes that silver's got a lot more room than gold right now. So I, you know, it's hard to predict when that'll happen because, you know, markets are funny, but I like the price of it. We're selling a ton of it right now. I think our averages are much heavier on silver, almost 60% silver, 40% gold right now. So
really? Yeah, interesting.
Our buyers are heavier than silver right now. So, but I think anyone, you know, make your own determination, call us, get some free guides and, you know, learn about what we do. I think that's always the first step. And if it's for you, great. If not, then you learned about something that you didn't know anything about, which also I think is great.
Well, the gold increases too are reflecting the volatility I brought up. Do you believe in this old saying that when gold will rise, the dollar and bonds will die?
I think it's possible. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to always have another currency. You know, bonds are you know, supposed to ultimately be one of the safer kind of safe haven, but it's, you know, you're buying debt and what, who's backing that debt. So if the dollar is going to go, U.S. bonds are going to go too. And so you have to be cautious of those two things. Those two things will fall together if they were to fall, because if the dollar falls, then what's the value of bonds? You know, that's the thing that's always the counterbalance, is having some of these real assets. You know, real assets are the thing that are going to prove true in the coming time. And I think that also my only prediction is that I think the 2% inflation number is going to be very hard to get to. I don't know if we're ever going back there, which is going to make it difficult for the Fed to do what it wants to do. And you know, I think rates are going to probably stay a little higher for a while, unless Trump can do something and make a change there. If inflation goes up to 3% or high twos, they can't lower rates anymore. Their mandate is 2%. So the Fed's in a tough position too. It looks good short term. Things are looking better, but we have a rocky road ahead for our economy. And so, listen, God bless him, President Trump. And the good thing I've been saying is, at least he doesn't have to worry about getting reelected, so he can piss off as many people as he needs to and do whatever he wants, which is always a good thing.
That's true. You know, and the world with Trump is not going to be perfect. And I've been telling people that. I like all of his appointments except for one, and that's Wiles. She runs a lobbyist firm for Big Pharma. And I'm wondering what's going to happen with RFK's participation. But yeah, the other ones that have come in, they're fiscally conservative. They've right. talked a lot about the budget. They've talked about, you know, cutting the waste in government. They're saying all the right things. I mean, I can dislike one of Trump's appointments, okay? But I can look on whole. I'm saying, man, I think you're doing a heck of a job. And these people are all saying what I want to hear, which is, we're going to cut the waste in government. We're going to cut the spending. We're going to stop the wars. We're going to end the Ukraine war. And all that adds up to more money in my pocket and for the rest of America's taxpayers. So I think you're right. Thank goodness for Trump. But it's not going to happen overnight. Well, what do you see? What do you project going forward economically? When he takes over on day one, what do you see unfolding economically?
Well, it depends what his first stab in terms of the economy is. Is it going after the Fed or is it going after tariffs? And so that I don't know the answer. That's the big question. If he goes after tariffs, then it'll be interesting to see what the trail effect with inflation is, the cost of goods. Things will get more expensive. It could be rocky. That's why no president ever goes after tariffs. They don't want to do it because they're politicians. They're lifetime politicians. Lifetime politicians just want to keep, you know, raising the debt, never cutting the spending. You know, they want to stay in office for a long time. You know, part of their goal is to get that lifetime pension. So it's hard to see what he's going to tackle first. But I'm hoping that him and Musk can do some things to reduce debt and also cut a lot of the fat in terms of just a lot of the government agencies that I think we just don't necessarily need.
You know, I think he's going to go with tariffs first. It's just my guess. I don't know, but I would guess that. And part of it's carrot and stick. The stick will be, it won't be just the Federal Reserve he's going after. Those international banks will cling together and could make things difficult for him economically on an international scale. And then domestically, if he can get wages to go up, okay, using tariffs, that'll make it make him politically popular. And when I read his personality, Colin, he likes to please the people.
Yeah.
And I that's why I'm kind of betting that's the way he's going to go. But regardless, your company is going to be getting another order from me for precious metals very shortly. And because it's the way to go. I don't think the dollar is going to go away, but it needs a different backing than the Federal Reserve. And I think eventually Trump will have to take on the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, if Powell's up in 2026, you know, he could probably make some significant changes right before that. So I think, I don't know, yeah, I think it's going to be hard for him to deal with the Fed kind of early on. But yeah, if tariffs are the first thing, that means inflation's, you know, we're going to have to ride out some inflation, which means that's, in theory, should be good for metals. Because, you know, inflation's not going to go anywhere if we attack, you know, directly. And I think you're right. You might as well go after your biggest issue, go after China directly and see how they react. And it'll probably be, you know, a year of negotiations with them to kind of get back. I have a hard time thinking he's going to go after 100% tariffs. I think we're going to end up, you know, somewhere in the middle. And then, you know, we'll see how the cost of goods goes. You know, it could.
China can't project power globally. They can only do it regionally. And I think the Bank of International Settlements factored that into their decision. I don't think they see them as a world policeman, and I don't either. Yeah. So if you're going to default to a world policeman, where are you going to go next? Okay, Russia's broke from their war, right? Now you got a populist president that knows how to run an economy. To me, I would make that shift of I was the Bank of International Settlement. Yeah, I'll tell you, that article you found on the Bank of International Settlement, that's a fantastic article.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense for them to walk away from what they were building. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, China, you know, they try to keep a lot of openings and avenues. And I think, you know, they're going to shift over to BRICS, try to do a currency there, but also try to work with US. So obviously they want us continuing to buy their goods. That's a big part of their economy. So
bingo.
Yes, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, can't wait to talk to you again. I don't know if we'll meet before the end of the year, but we'll definitely talk soon. And a lot of interesting things happening. But yeah, anyone
calling? But I want to shift to one thing before we go.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to shift to doing business with Noble Gold, because I do. And I, you know, I've been a paid advertiser for 8 years now, and I think I've been buying for about seven. And I'm talking gold and silver multiple times. And so I've got to give this warning, Colin, so we stay out of trouble. Okay, there are no guarantees when you deal in investments. Past performance can't predict future expectations. And so you should consult a financial expert if you have one or access to one. But I think my track record with Noble Gold speaks for itself in that regard. So I give that warning in good faith. But now that I've dispensed of that warning that the FTC likes us to do, I want to talk to about the average person for a second. If people have their basic needs met, you got to buy food before you buy anything else. But if they have their basic needs met, okay, why would this be a good time for people to buy gold?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, you're going to have enough to, in, you know, in your account to live and to do your things, and you got your 401ks and you got some real. So I think what it is, you're looking at another piece of the pie, right? And that's the thing that I think people really need to think about is, you know, your savings cash is losing, you know, if the government's right, you're losing 2 or 3% a year, it's probably higher, right? So 100,000 in the bank every year is going down to 95, right? So what do you do to keep up, right? Because if it goes down, you know, from 95, then it's going to go down to 91, then it's going to go down to, so it's losing buying power. And as we've seen with gold, gold has really reacted to this inflation. It's really reacted to the uncertainty that's out there. And if you look at history, high rates, the way that we've seen it and in the way with gold is sort of been unusual. But I think that what people are thinking about is that if you have these different people, you have a little stocks, you have real estate, you got that gold and silver so that when the dollar continues to lose value, you can keep up your buying power. And that's the most important thing, I think, with most people today is they want to be able to keep up with the increase of costs of food and electricity and all the day-to-day construction, everything that's happening. You know, your Social Security is going to be capped at a certain amount. Yeah, it can go up a little bit per year, but it's typically not enough. So you got to have something else in that portfolio. And a lot of people that have been buying from us through you, Dave, for many years, you know, right now they're retired and maybe they need a little bit of money. And so they're selling some of their gold and silver and they can sell it back to us. I got a note from actually one of the guys on the sales team today. There was a client that is starting to buy from us. And part of the reason he's buying from us is not just to buy, but actually he wanted a place to sell it back to because he sold some gold locally at a pawn shop. And the pawn shop guy wrote him a check. And then he went to cash a check, check bounced, went back, the guy was gone. And so the guy sold, you know, he made some profit on gold and sold it back to a local pawn shop, and the guy fleeced them on the sale. He wasn't a reputable, you know, person. And that's why I always say, like, it's really important to buy at a good place and like us, but also you want to have a relationship to sell back to so that you can, you know, take advantage of the profits that you had. And that's, you know, the thing about us, when you sell bullion coins and bars, you know, you're not getting into all these rare coins. You're buying, you know, the highest weight, highest purity. But then when you want to sell it back, you can sell it back to us, but you know, you can sell it back to a place that you can trust and you're going to get paid. And I think that's something to be cautious of. You know, all these buyers that are popping, you know, sellers like Costco and all these places, well, you're not going to sell back to Costco. They just sell stuff. You need to have a two-way street with a relationship so you can sell the product back at a later time. So it is something to keep in mind.
That's, you know, one of my motivations too. I'm nowhere near wanting to sell because I don't think we've seen the top of the mountain by any means. Donald Trump has a real tough 2 years ahead of him, in my estimation, and not through his own fault, certainly. I think there's a time maybe in the second half of his term that I think it might be a good time to sell. I don't know, but right now is not the time to sell. It's the time to buy.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the people, we ask them why they're selling, and they just need the money. Right. But most of the people that are selling back to us are not selling because of choice. They just need it to live on. They're retired. Right. And so, but that's great. And they're in profit. So it's, you know, it feels good that they're selling it. You know, they're getting out. They can cover up the cost of the things that they need to live on. But ultimately, I don't think most people are selling because they want to. And actually, relative to what we've sold, you know, over the last 9 years, it's a small fraction. I mean, it's a tiny amount. Part of it is IRAs. They require you to sell at some point. So that's, you know, there's required mandatory distributions turn 70 and a half. So some of it's just required because ultimately the government at some point wants their tax money. But at the end of the day, you have a safe place to sell it back. We're selling bullion coins and bars, which are the most desired. And, you know, you're going to have a relationship with somebody at Noble Gold, hopefully for life. You know, somebody that you can call and ask questions. And, you know, the people that you're going to talk to, you're going to like, they're friendly. You know, a lot of the people, the advertisers like you work with us, have someone at Noble Gold they work with, and they always have a good experience and they always have a happy experience.
Sure.
And that's important for us, you know, that they have that relationship. But ultimately, trust is important. Customer satisfaction is important. And really transparency and knowing what they're going to get is a big part of how we built this business.
Yeah.
And we've shipped, you know.
Successful.
Yeah. Yeah,
we shipped, see your ads everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, we just hit $2 billion in sales since we opened. And that's really because we have good people working for us and they trust us and we do what we say and we ship fast and, you know, all the things that we focus on daily. So
that's all true. So I got to put the cherry on this now. We always do this, whether we're talking to an author or a business owner. Okay, there's two ways you can go. You want to know more people. And I'm going to tell you one thing Colin said, he's right, they're friendly. But I want to emphasize this. Not one time when my wife and I have called to make an order has anyone ever pushed us into a deal. In fact, it's more accurate to say that you'll cross the 50% barrier in you initiating the closing of the deal than anyone you're talking to at Noble Gold. And I really appreciate that because there's absolutely zero pressure. Okay, here's what you do. You can call this number, 877. 646-5347, 877-646-5347. If you require a little more, you can call and get information, but also I can send you an information packet at davehodgesgold.com. So you got a choice there. Colin, Really informative. And I'll tell you, you got my head spinning on the Chinese thing. I got to go do some research. That was a good find. That was a great find, Colin.
I'm surprised I found that. I was like, usually you're the guy that finds all the nuggets. So I was happy to find that one. And more to come. And again, if I don't talk to you, happy holidays. And
same to you, my friend.
I'm sure we'll talk over probably over Christmas break or New Year's here, but always
Absolutely
a pleasure.
will. Yep, you can count on it. And like I said, we're getting ready to make another purchase, so I'll have some more dealings with Noble Gold. Thanks a lot, Colin. Talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And my goodness gracious, do we have a big story for you. This is really important, and this is going to require audience participation, and you've got to do it this morning. All you got to do, all I want you to do is contact your two senators from your state with the same message. Rick Scott, Rick Scott, Rick Scott. We're going to get into why. We're going to talk about what's at risk. This is huge. It's a major, major obstacle to Trump and your mandate that elected Trump. We have people trying to undermine it. And the enemy that we know, the Democrats, aren't as bad as the enemy that's within the gates, the Rhino Republicans. We're going to explain all that to you right here on the Common Sense Show. We are brought to you by Body Align. Those of you that can see what I'm talking about, and those of you can't, have to listen, understand. What you see here is cell phones that have circular dots on the back, about a little over a quarter of an inch, 3/8 of an inch wide. And they're placed on the back of cell phones. Why? Well, let's talk about the danger. 5G and EMF. Your cell phone and other 5G entities around you are shortening your life. For those of you that have a propensity towards cancer, this is enhancing it. And this is no joke, people. This is serious as hell. And you know, I've interviewed Virginia Farver about this issue many, 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 many times, and she's detailed and won court case against this. Well, we now have technology that negates the effect. And it's from my friend Jimmy Schwinn at Body Align. And let me just read to you a couple of the testimonials here. From Janice, I feel so much safer from EMF radiation with my cellular disc I have on my cell phone. I wanted my kids and grandsons to be protected as well, so they all got one for Christmas. Okay, this is really an awesome thing to do for your family. And then Dr. Lester says, we can't say enough about these cell discs. They provide some of the best protection on the market from electromagnetic radiation. I have all my patients purchase them. All you got to do to get this protection is go to bodyaline.com. That's A-L-I-G-N, bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. So many people like you and me and people like us across the country work so hard to kick the Democrats out as being the dominant party in the Senate. But it might be all for naught because of traitor. And yes, I mean traitor, and I'm going to explain it again for the 15th millionth time. Mitch McConnell, 82-year-old Joe Biden act-alike that stands in public and then just blinks out for minutes at a time. This man has no business being in the Senate. He doesn't have the cognitive presence to carry out his duties. He has shown that over and over and over. He's stepping down as a Senate leadership. He should have been removed a long time ago. What is it about these politicians that they keep people in that can't even think straight? You see Joe Biden walking across the beach today, stumbling and bumbling, and his wife not even trying to help him. Pretty amazing. Then you get this story here with Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is a saboteur to the Republican Party. He's a classic, consummate poster child rhino. He's part of the reason, folks, that our country is in the mess it's in. Let me give you the most damning thing about Mitch McConnell. It's on his Senate disclosure form financially. He is married to someone whose parents control the six major ports in China. And you go, well, Dave, there may not be anything wrong with that. He might not be able to control that. Love is blind. Yeah, but love can pay really well. He claims about $25 million of income from the CCP. He's Biden. He's Biden in the Republican Party. He's a traitor to this country. Should be put on trial. The last time I looked, China's our enemy. How many times did they threaten us with nuclear annihilation, the use of bioweapons? We got Chinese CHICOM soldiers crossing the border, according to the Border Patrol, at 10,000 per month on our southern border. And he's just fine with it. Yet he calls himself GOP. And he's going to give his parting shot to America. You people out there that overwhelmingly voted for Donald J. Trump just got Mitch McConnell's middle finger stuck in your face. Who's going to control the Senate leadership and therefore control the agenda? He's put up three names, and he's working against one of them. Let's talk about the first two that he's supporting. Senator Thune from South Dakota. This guy is no better than McConnell. He's a classic rhino, been the number two to Mitch McConnell. He's the enemy within. And he gets ahead of the hold of the Senate. Katie bar the door. We may as well just turn it back over. Let Kamala Harris sit up there as the VP and preside and just keep on business as usual. Because that's what we're going to get with this ass clown. And the second ass clown, number two, is Senator Cornyn from Texas. The biggest pretending wannabe, wish I was more popular in the Republican Party, but since I can't make it there, let me go the rhino route and make lots of money. Let me betray my oath of office and betray America by supporting, or should I say, not cracking down on open borders, not holding Mayorkas' feet to the fire. He stood next to Ted Cruz when Ted Cruz did it, pretended he was doing it, but he's one of them. He's a rhino insider. Those are the two that Mitch McConnell is pushing. Then there is Senator Rick Scott. He's MAGA all the way. Axios wrote a piece on him. Boy, it was a hit piece deluxe. He's MAGA. Like, what is MAGA? Is that a synonym for pedophile? Because that's how they made it sound in this hit piece, yellow journalism article about him. He tried to replace Mitch McConnell 2 years ago. And the reason being, there were eight senatorial candidates that were MAGA in 2022. Mitch McConnell did not fund eight of them. Seven of them lost. Thanks, Mitch. In this current senatorial race with Carrie Lake, he didn't give her a dime. And worse yet, Ted Cruz, who's really been an outspoken voice for conservative MAGA Americans, he didn't give him a dime in what was thought to be a close race. Now, it ended up being about a 10-point win for Senator Cruz, but we didn't know that going in. We thought it was going to be razor tight, so much for the polls, right? Well, Mitch McConnell stiffed him too, and he's going to get to choose his communist successor, Thune or Cornyn. This is why I'm making an appeal. Hey, look, I've told you, if you're not willing to go to work and do some of these things, then we may as well just lay down, take our beating, and go down the Bolshevik communist path we're on with a satanic overtones with my child genital mutilation. You're fine with that? Just do nothing. Let these people stay in power, because that's what Mitch McConnell's doing. He's one of them. He's owned by China. He's a traitor to this country, and he's trying to pick people who will continue in his tradition. Contact your senator this morning and let them know that if you let one of these two clowns in, Thune or Cornyn, you're going to organize against them. Now, they may not run for 4 years. They may not run for two. Tell them you have a very long memory. They need to feel the wrath of the people. Look, we stood up. We voted early, right? We got the vote out there. We overcame the voter fraud. We worked our butts off. Are you going to let the Senate take away the ability to help Donald Trump make the reforms that we need? Because that's what this is about. So what good did it do for us to wear our Trump shirts, go to the rallies, tell our neighbors, hey, this is really where you want to be, we want to vote for, to lay down and let Mitch McConnell wreck the Senate for Donald Trump? Please, I'm imploring you, do your job. Check us out at thecommonsenseshow.com. Why? Because we've got a great newsletter. It goes out to 50,000 people, and it's just one-stop shopping for everything that we do during the day. It'll be delivered to your mailbox. All we need is your email. We don't sell your data. We're not YouTube. We're not Facebook. It just needs your email, and it'll come right to your... Really, this is where you want to be. We'll see you back here next time. God bless everybody.